Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio.
KCSP Kansas City. WDAF HD2 Liberty. An Odyssey station.
All right, here we go on a Tuesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp with you. Dusty in for Nick Short today. Coming up 1 hour from now, it's the Whit Merrifield Show. We'll talk to Whit. You remember last week he left us with quite the tease to be looking on social media. If you hadn't seen it, there was a video of Whit Merrifield and Brady Singer doing a little closest to the pin contest out at Kauffman Stadium. And
swept.
Whit got swept by Brady Singer. He said he's not answering any questions. You know we're going to ask Whit Merrifield about that coming up at 11 o'clock here on the show. Also, he survives again in our listener Survivor League, I guess, that we're doing here as well. Brad Keller and Whit Merrifield continue to go through unscathed, as pretty much everybody has, except I think Mac Lethal's still the only guy with a strike in our Survivor League. So a lot to get into with Whit, including Salvador Perez, who now has 46 home runs. Can he get to 50? What's that like being a teammate of Salvi? So we'll talk to Whit about that coming up at 11 o'clock. Here we are a few days removed from the loss on Sunday in Baltimore now. And if you look at the AFC, you think there's a chance that this sets up for things to be a little more wide open. I'm not there after 2 weeks to suddenly think that it's more wide open, the AFC. I just think this is one of those situations where the Baltimore Ravens had a massive, massive win. And I'm still higher on Baltimore than people were prior to the win. Like, a lot of people would talk about Baltimore, the injuries, only winning eight games. I thought even before they beat the Chiefs, they could still be a 10-plus win team. Certainly feel even better about that now. And so I don't think anything has really changed in the AFC hierarchy. Like, Tennessee bounced back. Baltimore bounced back. The Bills bounced back. Like, really, has anything changed? They're all 1-1. Like, I don't think anything's changed. It's not any more wide open to me.
In the hierarchy, no. Like, as far as the teams who can win it, no. But the way Kansas City has stayed at the top where they were for multiple years in a row, and I understand last year they won the AFC, they had the best record. The year before that, it was the Ravens because they had the 14-2 year. And then the year before that with Kansas City, they also still did not have the number one record, or they did, but it was like 12-4, tied with Los Angeles. So you're talking about, I view it more like that year than I do this year. Or last year, where they were 14-2, they were clearly the number one team in the AFC. By week 10 or 11, you pretty much knew they were going to be the number one seed. Yes, there were teams who had a chance, depending on if they could actually beat Kansas City to do it. The reason why Kansas City has been atop for so long is because they've been able to front run. Because of the record we used to spout. Oh, Patrick Mahomes is 10-0 in September with 35 touchdowns and no picks and 330 yards per game. Well, now he's 10-1. I don't think that somehow, or 11-1. I don't think, by any means, right, that's changed what they are.
Sure.
I just think the fact that they've got the tougher end of their schedule is going to keep this race closer. Because the only two teams who are now undefeated in the AFC have no chance to win the AFC. That's the Raiders and the Broncos. The Broncos really have no chance. I know Derek Carr's playing.
Their schedule's incredible for the Broncos so far.
They take another terrible team on this week.
Well, give them credit. They're winning what's on the schedule, right? The Broncos are winning what's on the schedule, but yes, nobody's taking them.
They're taking the Jets. They play
seriously.
The Jets this week.
Yes, that's a popular Survivor League pick.
I'm going to consider it.
I imagine so.
I'm going to consider it for sure.
I think a lot of people are going to consider it. Although a few people took the Broncos this past week, but we'll have till Thursday. That'll be Thursday. We'll figure all that. But
go back through the previous years. I mean, the Chiefs, like 2018, right? They were a 12-4 record. They had the bye. They were the number one seed. But the Chargers were also 12-4. The Texans, the Patriots all had 11 wins. I just think it's going to be a little closer down to the stretch for the number one seed than it was last year. And I feel that way because of the way the beginning of this season has started. think there are a lot of teams who are close to equal footing. Chiefs are still the best team, but there's a lot of other teams that aren't that far behind.
I just think, if we go back and the Bills don't lose week one to the Steelers, they're sitting at 2-0, and they're the only 2-0 team in the AFC, along with the out of the contenders, I should say. They'd still be, the Raiders would still be 2-0 in that scenario, but they would be the only contender truly out of the bunch, or what we perceive to be the contenders out of the bunch, that are undefeated, and nobody would be thinking otherwise. I just don't think anything's changed, except for there's a possibility now, depending on what happens in the next 3 weeks, that it puts more pressure on Kansas City, or an opportunity for
those
Buffalo.
Chargers and Bills.
Because the Chargers are a team that people consider to be a contender as well in the AFC. And the Chiefs, of course, get them at Arrowhead. And then we know in a couple weeks, it's the Chiefs hosting the Bills on Sunday Night Football. A Bills team that's going to be just as hungry as the Baltimore Ravens were this past Sunday. We saw the reaction in Baltimore, what that was like from a locker room standpoint, from them going around the stadium and the field high-fiving some fans, to what the post-game like concourse was like. It was a playoff-type win atmosphere, and you know how much that win meant for Baltimore. I feel like that is how it's going to be every time out, whenever it's the any team, really, but in particular the Chargers or the Bills when they play them later on Sunday Night Football. That's just the new reality of being the Chiefs. You are, of course, the team that everybody's marked on their schedule. And there hadn't been many teams that have been able to beat Kansas City over the last 4 years. There's a reason why we joke and talk about there's only like four losses since we've been on the air. Like it's something that we're not as used to. We're spoiled right now in Kansas City. And so the Baltimore Ravens, I think, are interesting, and this factors into what you're saying about maybe being a little bit more wide open, is for Baltimore, which way do they go now? And which way do any of these teams go now if they're fortunate to beat Kansas City? That game clearly meant so much to the city of Baltimore and to the Ravens.
Yeah, it was a huge deal.
And so do they use this to propel themselves going forward? Is this the boost that carries on all season? Or is it a win that takes so much out of you because you built it up and now there's a letdown this week when you play the Lions, right? That's Harbaugh's job to figure out.
It's definitely a letdown if you lose to the Lions.
Right, and look, they're not going to lose to the Lions. But like, just listen to the post-game speech for John Harbaugh and the Ravens.
Here's the beautiful thing about it. I'm on the sideline back there, and it's going for two. It's going for fourth down. We're calling timeouts. We're just fighting our asses off. And I look back, what should we do? And I got 10 guys. Go for it. Go for it. Look, I look back, and Nick Boyle's in a stretch. Go for it. I got a couple more combined. I look at our defensive line coach over here, Anthony. He goes, go for it. Everybody said what? Go for it. And that's what you did tonight.
And I think the answer for me is that they're going to use this and propel them going forward. I don't believe that this was a win that takes everything out for the Ravens. Clearly, it meant so much. But with Harbaugh as the head coach, with his one of the most dynamic quarterbacks in football and Lamar Jackson, right? This, to me, isn't a situation where the Ravens get all up for being the Chiefs and then have a massive letdown, and we're going to look back 12 weeks from now and say, man, they're a 6-win team, but they beat the Chiefs. I think the Ravens will be a team that's fighting for a playoff spot all season long, despite where they're at. So I think that's just the type of win that propels you going forward. We asked Kyle Brandt that question yesterday when he joined us, and he said it's the biggest win of Lamar's career. Like, I just think in terms of the confidence no longer having to talk about kryptonite, it's massive for the psyche of the Ravens the rest of the regular season, and it potentially could be massive if they face the Chiefs in the playoffs. And certainly the Chiefs will be plenty motivated too, because you saw Tyreek Hill on Twitter yesterday responding as well. Like, this will be now, maybe this is, we went Mahomes and Lamar, like, is that actually a rivalry? We were talking about that late last week. Well, one way to spruce it up is what happened on Sunday night. Like, now that next time, whenever that is that these two teams face again, it has a whole new type of feeling, doesn't it?
I think it depends on the team to say if it's going to knock them, like, if that's their Super Bowl. Because it was for the Raiders last year, right? And we mocked the fact that they got on a bus and took a victory lap.
We do.
And I know Gruden was really annoyed that story got out, because he never denied that it happened. He was, I don't even know why that's being brought up. Because you did it, John. Because you took your team on a victory lap for a regular season game that didn't even get you to be above 500 last year.
Yeah, but we don't think the Ravens and Raiders are the same. I mean, one's got Harbaugh, one's got Gruden, one's got Lamar Jackson, one has Derek Carr. And so, again, 2 weeks of the season, Derek Carr is playing like an MVP candidate. So, but if you're using the comparison from last year, I think they're just two different. The big reason why I don't believe that'll be the case for the Ravens is because of their head coach.
The reason why the loss opens it to everybody, because again, there are three 0-2 teams, and they're the teams you would expect. They're awful. And there are two 2-0 teams, and everybody else in the AFC is 1-1. And I could expect that some of that beating each other up stuff will continue. But the Chiefs still have losable games against the Chargers. The Eagles have played pretty well. I don't know that that's a losable game, but on the road, you know. The Bills, the Titans, who certainly looked better in week two, the Packers. This is the first half of their schedule. So it's not unreasonable to say over the next, what, 6 weeks, the Chargers, Eagles, Bills, Washington, Titans, Giants, and Packers. Of those seven games, they get through nine games. That's half of their schedule. We know that it's an uneven, it's an imbalanced now, which I hate, but it's fine. That's half of their schedule. They're probably going to look at another loss, which means that they're still going to be firmly in the mix with everybody else during that stretch, unless everybody beats everybody up and we're looking at three or four losses per team. And I think someone will stand out by then. The Chiefs beginning part of the schedule, maybe they can run away with the thing later on because they got the weaker part of their schedule, you think, although not easy, I would argue. Not an easy schedule at any point this year. They got the weaker part of their schedule, but I think that's what's going to keep teams hanging around. I think if they're going to get the number one seed this year, the Chiefs, and this isn't a knock, I still think they're the best team in the AFC. If they're going to get the number one seed this year, I think it's going to come a lot closer down to the wire than it has.
Certainly, we'll see, right?
I mean, and really, they've only won the AFC, twice in the last 4 years?
Yeah, I don't think off of a week, first 2 weeks results that I'm anywhere close to saying anything has changed in the AFC.
Sure.
Whatsoever. Not only in the hierarchy, but even just the way it's going to go. Like, does anybody still not think the Chiefs can win 14-plus games this year?
I still think that.
Right, I mean, so
we
always
thought they were going to lose a game.
This week's a huge game against the Chargers, no doubt. I mean, it's been
a lot more weight on it.
It puts more pressure on it. Look, the Chargers just lost to the Dallas Cowboys as well. So just both teams are going to be trying to bounce back in a huge, huge way. And fortunately, the Chiefs do have the advantage that it is at home in Kansas City this Sunday, and it should be a fantastic crowd yet again, of course, out at Arrowhead Stadium. Reminder, Nate Taylor also going to join us. We'll ask him some of these very questions coming up at 1 o'clock today. He'll be in studio. Of course, Nate Taylor joins us each and every Tuesday here on Cody and Gold. The one thing that has to change, as we discussed yesterday a lot, is this defensive line and showing up, right? Showing up for a game, making an impact. We saw Chris Jones have the impact against Cleveland, but that entire defense really struggled to do much of anything against Lamar Jackson. And one newcomer in particular is kind of gone under the radar a little bit, and I think it's because people will focus, and understandably so, on the guys with the big contracts, so that Chris Jones and Frank Clark and of course, the fumble on the offensive side, people are focused in on Clyde. But Jaren Reed has been non-existent so far.
Yeah, when's his impact supposed to show up? I got sold a bill of goods on Jaren Reed. Andy's not off the hook for that, right? Andy spent the entire offseason bringing up Jaren Reed anytime nobody asked about him. Hey, Andy, what do you think about Pat? So have you guys talked about Jaren Reed? Because he's going to do some stuff on this defensive line. And I was a buyer into it because he was, even at just a 6.5 sack player, which he was last year, that's a noticeable impact, right? In the middle of the defense, considering you're trying to move Chris Jones outside, and 6.5 sacks would have been third on your team last year. So I know 2 games into a 17-game season, I'm not supposed to have 4 sacks for Jaren Reed. He has been non-existent. I don't see him collapsing the pocket on the quarterback. He's certainly not getting sacks. He hasn't made Frank Clark better, which is part of the conversation we had. Now, he's only been in one game. Yep. And he played limited snaps in that game, but he was also non-existent in those limited snaps inside that game. I am willing to wait a bit on Jaren Reed before we start writing this thing because it's two games in, man. The reason why I'm willing is exactly some of the stuff. Frank Clark hasn't played at his full health, and I think Chris Jones was neutralized in that game in particular due to the athleticism of Lamar Jackson. But it would be nice if it started to show up because he was sold as a valuable member of the defensive line. And so far, I don't even know if we've said his name once.
Yeah, look, the facts are the facts right now. Through 2 games, he hasn't had the impact. I can't argue that whatsoever. I still think with any of these type of conversations right now, we do have to remember it is just 2 weeks into the season. I know the results aren't what we want, but it's always just the way the order, right? This is how sports works in general. Like, we just know, like, if someone has a great first 3 weeks of the season, we're praising them. We're saying, what a signing. But then if they disappear for 3 weeks, would you rather have that be the case late in the season? Like, let's keep that in perspective. Look, we might be sitting here for 6 straight weeks and saying Jaren Reed's not impactful, and that's a whole different story. But right now, two games in, clearly the entire defensive line has to play better. And yes, that does include Jaren Reed. It includes Colin Saunders. It includes Derek Nnadi, who has been non-existent as well. I know he's not the name that gets brought up, but still, he hasn't had an impact. Nobody really has had an impact other than a few snaps against Cleveland where Chris Jones was able to take over a game. That moment just never came, unfortunately, against the Baltimore Ravens front, and it was surprising, considering their own injuries, as we know, on the offensive line of Baltimore. And so, yeah, to this point in time, it is surprising. I think it's a huge factor. I think he's a huge factor why this defensive line has struggled. So, yeah, there's a comp. It's not. It really isn't just one guy, although if you want to vault yourself into being an elite player and considered elite player like Chris Jones, what he did against Cleveland, that kind of stuff has to happen more where the whole team is playing poorly defensively.
But you still do your job.
You find a way in the biggest moments to make the play. That's what we were saying after the Cleveland game. Man, your best players, your highest priced players made plays when you needed to. Mahomes and Chris Jones. That's what we were saying in the Cleveland game. This week, Chris Jones didn't have that moment. Right. That's what. And so the defensive line wasn't any different against Baltimore than it was Cleveland. Really, it was worse, especially because you didn't have the big moment from your best
player.
And you're
going against a significantly worse offensive line. Reed has two tackles, no sacks, and a 52.2 Pro Football Focus grade, which is a D. But that tracks. Like sometimes you look at
52s or D. I thought that was F's, man. I thought those were F's.
Yeah, Pro Football Focus grade's a little different.
I'm pretty sure those were F's in high school or something.
Never got an F.
Yeah.
I've never gotten an F in anything in my life.
I got an F on the paper once.
Oh, man. Yeah. I can't live that life.
Never got an F?
Nope. I didn't
get
my.
Look at you, man.
I didn't get my first B until junior year of high school. I didn't get my first B until junior year of high school. I couldn't handle the pressure.
I got an F my freshman year in high school.
In a class?
Yeah, but that's because I didn't.
Oh, in the whole class.
The transition was weird, man. Like, it was just a weird transition.
No way.
It's like.
What class was it? I'm curious.
Something
now.
Like social studies or
social studies.
It was like Miss Reader's
Look,
class.
I'm terrible at math, so there was plenty of math assignments where there was plenty of D's showing up on math assignments. I can promise you that.
It was my freshman year, it was my sophomore year, and at Blue Springs we had a freshman center. Then we transitioned into the high school, and I mean, no surprise here. I was a class clown. I was a wild child, and you know, built my reputation on the reaction of kids in the class. But I got along
I'm
with
not stunned by this one, right. One bit.
But I got along with most of my teachers. Like all my teachers pretty much liked me. There was just a few that didn't understand me. But then once they got to know me, they were like, you know what? Dusty's fine. Kind of like my fan base of seven. And the thing is I had to take the class again the next semester with younger kids. Or I'm sorry, the next year with younger kids in my class. And it turns out this teacher now follows me on Twitter, is excited about my career, and told me. The next year after I had to take her first half of that class again, she goes, if I'd have known that we were this, you know, good with each other, I wouldn't have failed you the first time. So
you just got giving you that D.
J Southland Tow Service text line 913-576-7610 says that, what are we grading Cody's songs then? You said you never got an F. Some people be giving you F's on some of these.
I've never gotten an F as a song.
You've definitely gotten some A pluses on Happy Birthday Patrick and No Chance. There's one or two probably that are closer to the D and F range, but look, hit and miss, man. This is not every artist has a hits every single time.
Different in the musical career.
Yeah, my Bruce adulthood never had a flop.
Yeah, he has.
No, he has.
What a typical sports thing. I like Bruce, the boss. I'm like, yeah, it's fine.
A lot of sports.
I know more about the boss than the average fan, so I won't accept that.
Actually, Spec has decided, by the way, speaking of trivia and knowing things about it, Spec would like to challenge you to a wheel spin.
Why?
Over James Bond trivia as the new movie is getting ready to come out.
I would kill you both.
I would get crushed on that. Why would I?
You get crushed? Why? Yeah. You said you're a big James Bond fan.
I would crush the boss in James Bond.
I'm a big James Bond fan, but I'm not a movie buff, so that'd be a dumb bet. The thing about
study.
Know when you're not going to win the bet. Don't
let me help you beat the boss.
Dusty and you versus Spec.
Oh, us, both of us? Because
two versus one.
Is this official or is this Cody's new rule?
No, I got to confirm with him.
Yeah, I mean,
But I'm saying you two versus him.
I mean, I would definitely need a teammate because while I'm a big Bond fan, I'm not a movie buff. Like, I'm not going to be like, give me all six of that, the six that this actor was in. I couldn't just tell you.
I could do that easily.
Yeah, see, I can't. I don't follow it that way.
Trust me, man.
I love the Bond movies, but I can't tell you every. Give me all the ones that Connery was in. Give me all the ones that Roger Moore.
You could name a lot of the movies and then work through. If you're a team with Dusty, maybe you got a chance.
Come on, man. We can start at Dr. No, film one. There's your trivia right there.
Text
Film
line
one.
Says Cody and Gold got an F running the 40-yard dash of the combine.
Won the 40-yard dash, so I don't think I could get an F.
Because you fell, right?
Yeah, but I also...
And I fell, too, so we both got F.
Yes, but I finished... No, but it was like...
Cody once
failed
the snitch
tests.
Line.
Yeah, the snitch line. Dusty wasn't here last week for that one. About Cody was at a hotel at 11 o'clock dropping off baked goods to a female.
Okay. It was, why don't you make it sound, why do you that's make it happens. Sound so bad?
Yeah, he makes it sound like a,
well, that's what
like
it was on
see
the
this on,
line.
A, on a site.
But that's not what happened. None of that is true. Dust. I made it very clear. My wife knew I was going to that hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going at 11 o'clock at night? Well, just dropping off some goods at the hotel.
Yeah,
baked
cookies.
Look, we all
cookies.
Have.
I don't think Cody could be that guy. He's too nice.
Impossible.
Yeah.
Thinking
too
of
much
raps,
social pressure.
Thinking of raps, though, you know, we have our guillotine league, and we'll get to the loser of the week coming up at 10:45. And whew, I survived another week. It was a close one. Thank you, Jamal Williams, for not
you
having a big
second
night.
To last?
That's all right. So did Sean Barber last week, and he finished in the top three. So we can bounce back. It's not a problem. Again, guillotine league. It doesn't matter if you have the finish first this week or finish second to last. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. But one of our members of the guillotine league, Matt Fleener, emailed us last night. Because if you remember, his spot in the league was determined by doing a Binkley rap. We were like, it's not really a rap, Matt, but we still let him in. He felt bad. He felt bad. So he emailed us a Cody and Gold rap. Take a listen to this, and then we can hand out a grade, maybe.
Come on, KC. You know who the best show in town belongs to.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2.
Cody Tapp, oldest member of the team. You know he's living out his best dream. Jingles, raps, and all the fix-ins. Cody's on the ones and two straight mix-in. Alex Gold, he loves to bet. Hasn't had that big windfall just yet. Tostitos and a crust of bowls. You know he got them lofty goals. Nick Schwert, producer extraordinaire. You gotta have him to get this show to air. Nick's notable notes and NFL previews make you an offer that you cannot refuse. Gonna have lots of fun. Kick Pete Sweeney out the league for week one. Chats with Wit and Thursday Snitch Line. Can you help Cody find his lost feline? Random questions, put him on blast. Check out his 40 time, Cody, be real fast. Trash of the day, make sure you're not on it. Top Shot cards added money to their wallet.
Cody's quarter.
He got
the Alex
he got every benchmark in.
Training camps, no codes. Help them pander.
Now it's time for the wheelie bad half hour. Give that thing a spin with some real manpower. Might have to take that pocky chip. There's no shame in this partnership. This whole show started with a trip to hot Miami. Cody on the far, far back of the plane like, do you know who I am?
Cody and Gold weekdays from 10 to 2. 610 and the Odyssey at Cody and Gold. Weekdays from 10 to 2 on 610 and the Odyssey at
incredibly well produced.
He took some time on this. I must say, the effort. Well done, Matt. He got everything. I mean, clearly listens to the show all the time. He got everything in there that we do on the show.
I don't think there's a single thing missed.
Everything, he got everything that we do on the show on the rap.
Makes me feel like I'm supposed to put more time into the production of my music than I do.
That was better work. I mean, I feel like he put in more effort than you do on some of your work.
I don't think that's unfair.
So now we're going to get Cody versus this guy, like Eminem and Machine Gun Kelly.
I think it needs to happen.
We're going to get lines of your beard is weird.
He got everything in there.
He didn't miss. What did he miss?
I'm not saying that. That's a lot of dedication.
So we love our listeners.
Like you guys should hang out with this guy. Like go.
He's
like,
been in our fantasy baseball league. Our
that's cool.
Fantasy baseball league.
Maybe you should make fantasies a reality and go to a baseball game with him. And the whole time he can rap about your experience there.
But he just gave us everything from the show. Honestly, fine work. What more are you asking for? We don't have an intro for this show.
I was impressed.
He went from like 90s Will Smith to Bruce Hornsby in like the middle of the song.
There was a switch about 45 seconds in or so.
I appreciate a musical switch in a song, personally. Why did it did go Bruce
that
Hornsby
was a minute 48. Like, that was a minute, right. That was a minute 48 of quality.
He went like drastic, low singing voice, piano in the background to Will Smith, then back to Bruce Hornsby.
As someone who creates a fair amount of music for the show, that had to take a lot of time.
Weeks for him, I believe.
Like, I feel like a lot weeks. Of time.
He put a sound effect of a car going by when Cody was talking about Cody's 40-yard dash.
He was all in.
Andy, like, he referenced something that happened on the show last Friday. So, like, did it only take him a weekend, or did it take him, like, 2 weeks? I guess we'll never know.
Maybe he was building it up.
He writes his raps
I give it
the
an
day.
I give that thing an A+, man.
You're an easy grader.
That's an A+. Had everything... Everything we do on this show is in there. The only thing Dusty's mad, I think Dusty went like, and fill it in, Dusty Likens. I think he just wanted something.
Yeah, that's fine. I was on the franchise for the Chiefs.
It's true. We did go over this as a show.
So Nick's not here today. This is a sore subject.
I'm not even like a main person in the station.
Well, Nick has been trying to audition to get on. He's been saying lines thinking they would pick it up. And that's the thing. Yeah, you've been on it. Cody's been on it. I've been on it. Bink's been on it. C-Dot. And our Nick, who's out today, he unfortunately hasn't been on the franchise.
You just got to act like you don't care. And then they'll be like, you know what? This makes sense.
And he missed the song today.
Yeah, Nick's not going to be happy about that.
You can play for him later in the week.
Hey, he got his name dropped in there, and he's been on your guys' show for what, like 2 weeks?
He's our producer. He's our producer, man.
Yeah.
He is.
Didn't even talk about your Reese's break. That's how a real fan knows this show.
Oh, you mean in the noon hour? It's definitely time for the get the
What's
Reese's.
What's the over-under daily on Alex Gold getting his Reese's?
Oh, will he? Yes or no? It's definitely minus 350 that I get one at some point today.
The prop bet is, do you give away the fourth cup?
No.
Okay. Well, I've seen you Why do it before.
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay. I've seen Cody walk out of there with one. Unless you guys both went dual Reese's.
No.
You eat all four cups?
Yeah, it's king size.
You're an animal.
We're in the show, man. It's not healthy, you know?
And it's just a tough snack to eat as an on-air host. You feel like that would make you gummy.
You inhale it.
Okay.
Like, just eat. You inhale Sometimes them. It's a two-and-two situation.
But if we wait, because we go 20-plus-minute segment, if we wait, then they start melting by the next segment. Then that's a problem.
Gosh, that's
You know? These are very serious problems
like
that we have.
Like a fridge to put in there.
We should. Just have one in here. All right, coming up next, we still can't figure it out with this guy on the Chiefs.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio. Nate Taylor in studio with C-Dot, Fridays at 4, right here on 610 Sports Radio.
Back here on Cody and Gold, just getting started on a Tuesday. 30 minutes from now, we'll check in with Whit Merrifield, the Whit Merrifield Show, here on Cody and Gold. Also, find out who got eliminated in our guillotine league. Yes, that's part of the deal. You're in our guillotine league. You got to get chopped on the air. We'll see if Dusty will participate in our You Got Chopped chant once we get the listener.
We did such a bad job.
It's supposed to be terrible. That's how it's supposed to go down. So that's coming up in about 15 minutes or so. There still continues to be a mystery almost around one player, although I don't even know if it should be much of a mystery anymore. It just kind of is what it is, and now I think they're telling us how they view this player, and that player is Juan Thornhill for the Chiefs. We know he got 11 snaps on Sunday night against the Ravens after making two significant plays against the Cleveland Browns. And we had Juan Thornhill on the show last Thursday, and we asked him about his confidence because Andy Reid said he felt like last week that Juan Thornhill got more confident as the game went on. And Juan Thornhill said, yeah, I think that's accurate. Felt like he did as well. It was a weird preseason, as we know, for Juan Thornhill. Was out there in the fourth quarter. I mean, that tells you all you need to know how they kind of view him if he's out there with four stringers. But then you saw week one, he played well. So you're thinking, oh, he had big plays against Cleveland. He's gonna play more against Baltimore. Now, maybe there's personnel packages. So maybe they don't think he's good with that personnel. Well, Juan Thornhill brings speed and athleticism. Wouldn't that be exactly what you want when Lamar Jackson's on the field? So that's why I have a problem agreeing with people that'll say, well, it's a game-to-game thing. You know, they think he matches up differently with personnel.
That's not what's happening
here. How would he not have matched up good with personnel against the Baltimore
they
Ravens,
were fast
considering
and you
the
were
speed,
slow.
So I don't buy into that. I think Andy Reid's comment really yesterday, just listen to this on why Sorensen essentially has been on the field more than Juan Thornhill.
Juan and Dan, they do certain things the same and a couple things different, but it all kind of equals out. So and Dan really has had the better camp and so on. So. Maybe a little bit more consistency there, but we love Juan and where he's coming, where he's getting himself back to where he was and his rookie year. And, I don't want to take anything away from the effort that he's put forward to do that, but, and they all get a chance to play. So I think we'll just take it step by step here and you can't have enough of those guys that they can play.
Okay, they all get a chance to play is really doing a lot of work in that sentence, okay? He played 11 snaps. 11. Like, if you're looking for a comparison for who plays about that many number of snaps, that's the same number of snaps that Byron Pringle got on offense?
Yeah, I'd say it's offense versus defense. I get the point, but it's...
All right, so defensively, he got... Let me make this much easier. On defense, he got the fewest snaps out of any player that played on the field on Sunday. I know that I've complained about Beniman versus Willie Gay playing time. This isn't even the same. Juan Thornhill is in year three. This is not like a rookie who doesn't know the defense anymore. I understand he's still probably semi-recovering from an injury, but now it's been more than a year. That should no longer be a big question mark. At this point, they're being derelict. Like, this is a mistake by the Chiefs. They are so beholden to Sorensen, they can't see past the big play. I think they're putting so much value on, oh, he shows up in these moments.
And he has.
And they're missing. Yeah, but, you know, the argument will always be, is that scheme? Like, can we make an argument that it's just scheming him? Because, you know, he was big in the big moment against Baker Mayfield because he was sent to blitz. Thornhill's been a good blitzer, so is L'Jarius Sneed. They just happened to send him.
Yeah, look, I'm with you that I want Thornhill to play more, but I think that's a little unfair to Daniel Sorensen, and just in terms of, like, hey, that he just, like...
He does seem to have a knack for it, I understand.
I mean, you know, the playoff game, the controversial play in Cleveland, they think they got screwed, right? The play at the goal line, right? That resulted in a touchback and everything like that. That wasn't just lucking into that. He had to go out and make that play.
Or the tackle on the fake punt against the Texans.
And I'm not defending the, you know, multiple missed tackles from Daniel Sorensen.
He's missed nine, by the way, which leads the NFL.
Yeah, and that's ridiculous. That just can't happen. That was embarrassing on Sunday night against Baltimore. But I don't think it's fair that, like, he just happens to be the one player on defense when he makes plays that he's lucking into it. I think that's not fair at all when we talk about Daniel Sorensen. But how Juan Thornhill, against that type of athleticism on Sunday night, wasn't on the field. Like, I get that Daniel Sorensen might have been better in camp. I think we all recognized, based off the reps, how they were feeling about Daniel Sorensen versus Juan Thornhill, that Thornhill's out there with four stringers in preseason games. I mean, that told you right there. But we're now a couple weeks into the season. Like, if it's still the case next week and the week after, then what he did in camp, I mean, if Juan Thornhill's making bigger plays in the game, which in week one, Juan Thornhill had the two big plays in week one against Cleveland. This past week, he didn't even get an opportunity really to make any plays. 11 snaps, as you pointed out, Cody. Fewest on defense.
In a game they were getting absolutely torched. It's not like there was a good reason to be like, well, he's just not getting his guy. Everyone's getting beat.
The fact he had a better camp, like, at what point does that not matter as much? Like,
it matters. Stop mattering right now.
Matters week one. Okay, all right. Matters week one. But then Juan Thornhill showed up when he needed it in week one. So then his snaps went down significantly in week two. And you saw Dan Sorensen have multiple missed tackles. I think we have to realize at this point, though, Cody, like, Daniel Sorensen is going to, throughout the entire season, it's not changing. Like, Juan Thornhill can get more snaps. That might happen. Hopefully it does. It needs to, in my opinion. But Daniel Sorensen's always going to out-snap him. That's not changing. That's just not going to change this year. Clearly it's not. I mean, it's just not. We know how they feel about him.
But this is neglectful. Like, if Sorensen keeps playing this way, how can you justify it every week? Sorensen was not perfect in that Cleveland Browns game. There was a couple of pass plays he got beat in.
I mean, again,
the whole defense in the first 2 weeks has had... there are very few players that'd be like, you know what? You've done nothing but kick ass for the first 2 weeks. Well, the team's what? Giving up 30 points a game and 800 yards a game? No, probably not. But then it brings an even bigger thing in, is can you draft anyone? I don't want to be big picture thing here for... But that means
Can't draft anyone. Look at this past year's draft. They got their starting center is in the draft. They're starting right guard. It's so easy to do this for the most recent year.
I understand.
But,
I
mean, you can't come on here and tell me that I don't know if nobody's been able to fail. I don't know if Brett Veach can draft. They have a chance by next year to have, in the last two drafts, two starting linebackers, a starting center, a starting right guard, and a starting right tackle in the last 2.5 years of drafts, or 3 years of drafts.
The first year would be a waste. Which I don't think is uncommon for drafting purposes. You'd have a guy, McColl, who you don't think has lived up to the hype. Juan, who at this point is starting to look more and more like a guy who's not going to get a second contract. Colin Saunders, non-factor. Fenton, doesn't really play. Darwin Thompson already off the team. And Nick Allegretti, who's whatever.
Yeah.
Right? And then the following year, you're disappointed in your first-round pick so far in Clyde. You haven't been able to get Willie Gay on the field much. Maybe you have a starting right tackle. Sneed's great. Dana hasn't shown up yet this year. Didn't show up much last year. And then Bo Pete Keys, who's not a non-factor, which is, you know, like, when you start getting to that point of the draft, it's not a huge deal. But it's the Thornhill problem creates more supplementary problems. Look at where the defense is going over the next few years. Who's on it? Who's gone next year? Hitchens gone, probably?
Sure. Yes. They're going to need to save the money there.
We're absolutely not sure about Matthew.
Yeah, I think it's, you know where I am on that. Massive
I understand,
mistake, but
we don't technically know that he's going to be on the roster, right? Charvarius Ward might not be on this team, so you have another corner spot open. Jaren Reed's only under 1 year contract. That's another spot that could be. I mean, you might be replacing five guys who are regular rotation pieces, and now all of a sudden you got a Thornhill problem. And again, they're in the room, so it's always like, oh, you know, they must know better than me. The Chiefs still get things wrong. I think that's something we could admit occasionally. They are a great team. They do great things, all of those things. But I don't know what they're doing with Thornhill. It makes no sense at this point. You can't watch what's happening on the field and be like, that guy had a better training camp. I can only listen to that for so many weeks. If this week Sorensen misses 4 tackles again and Thornhill gets 9 snaps, I have a problem. Like, there's at some point you're being neglectful because you trust Sorensen more, and trust cannot be the only factor in this equation. Talent has to matter. And that, to me, is starting to be like a theme, right? Where they trust players they trust more than they trust the talent in players they have. And I don't love that. Not all the time. There's times for that, but I don't love that all the time. That's all. It starts to feel like it's a recurring theme.
We'll get into this with Nate Taylor coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Nate Taylor will join us in studio. Of course, Nate over at The Athletic. We're also just about 20 minutes away from the Whit Merrifield Show, presented by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. We'll have Whit join us here as he does each and every week. Stepping away from the Chiefs just briefly here, Salvador Perez in a doubleheader hits a home run. I think we talked towards the tail end of the show yesterday
that he needed one.
Like if you're going to have 2 games in one day, a rare doubleheader, and basically with that many games are left, he needed to get a home run in one of those games. That's exactly what Salvador Perez did. He hits number 46. That passes Johnny Bench's record. It is Salvador Perez's record now, baby. That is all his, and he's 4 away from getting that. Just that special number that always looks good when you're talking about records, or
5-0,
that's just a solid round number 50, and he's 4 away. He's of course 2 away from tying Jorge Soler's club record, a record that we all want to see broken, and have Salvador Perez's name attached to it. And he is in prime position to be able to do so. He did it in Cleveland in a doubleheader against an Indians team that had owned the Royals up until that point, and really still have owned them this year. But they were 1-11 against the Indians until the Royals got 2 wins. Yesterday, I think you pointed out to me, it's like what the White Sox did the Royals a year ago. Unfortunately, it's the Indians this year, not as good of a baseball team doing that.
At least they'll change names next year, so that's
the Guardians. That's true. That is the Guardians. But then there's the fan in Cleveland that caught the ball, and my understanding still, unless I haven't seen an update,
no,
I don't believe they have received the ball from said fan. Where do you guys fall on this? When, if you're a fan, and understand, this is a fan of Cleveland, not a Royals fan, so it's not, in his mind, he's like, Salvador Perez, he doesn't care. Right? That's how the Cleveland fans thinking. Like, I got to get something out of this. Some people are calling the fan a jerk and all of this.
He is a jerk.
What's the limit? If it was a Royals fan, do you think the Royals fan just hands it over right away? I think you have some leverage.
Just ask for an autographed bat and move on about your day.
We don't know. Is he asking for that, or is he asking for something insane? We don't know that. Like, if he just said, hey, I want to, he's an Indians fan, so maybe he doesn't want a Salvador Perez bat. Maybe he wants their version of Crown Club seats in Cleveland. Give him the damn Crown Club seats in Cleveland. And get Salvador Perez's ball back. Make it happen. Let's go.
Just pay the price tag. I cannot be that crazy. You remember that Mark McGwire story, right? Where the guy who caught his record-breaking home run is like, all I want is to meet Mark.
Yeah.
Personally hand him the ball. McGwire's like, man, screw you. I'm not going to do that. You're like, fine! And then he sold it to the guy who created Spawn for a gajillion dollars. I don't think Salvador Perez, anything he would have asked at this point. I'm going to ask Whit Merrifield. Maybe he knows what the price tag is for this thing right now.
I have no problem with what the fan's doing, by the way. This is leverage.
We're going to hold a baseball hostage you didn't even catch. It just rolled near him.
I don't care.
And empty stands in the middle of a day
game. I'm
not
saying for him never to be ridiculous and not be like, oh, $1 million. I'm not saying he needs to. But within reason, I have no problem with the fan
What's
wants
reason?
Something.
$10,000?
No. I would
one
not,
baseball.
Not cash. No, I'm not asking for cash from the fan, because that to me is insane. No, if you're in his position, you're a Cleveland fan. You're in his mind. You don't care about the Royals in his mind. And so maybe he wants Cleveland Indians gear, autographs, swag. Maybe he's actually like, look, I don't even want Indian stuff. Find a way to get something over at the Browns game next week. I want tickets to the Browns game.
Hopefully he doesn't want Indian stuff, because it wouldn't be anything next year anyway. So
who on the Cleveland team right now
is what he needs?
I don't you can call the guy a jerk or not, but you have leverage. You have leverage. Use it.
It's not a lot of leverage, because it's not really that significant of a home run. Yeah, it passes Johnny Bench, but it's like,
yeah, well, then even more, then why
that's
are there,
like Baldwin would be in the Hall of Fame, though.
If it's going case. To the Hall of Fame. Like, so it's going to Cooperstown.
That's a notable home run. Now, if it was at Kauffman, it was caught by a Royals fan, A, that fan maybe would just hand it over, and B, I wouldn't fault said Royals fan if they're like, yeah, I want Crown Club seats. I have no problem with that.
I would just try to milk every Cleveland like sports thing. I want courtside seats to the Cavs. I want, you know, 50-yard line seats to the Browns.
Call up all your boys.
Yeah. Don't the Browns play like a Sunday night football game this year? Probably like Pittsburgh or Baltimore?
I'm sure they have.
Give me that.
One.
But you know that he can't negotiate. You know that the Cleveland team and the Royals teams, who were apparently co-negotiating with the guy.
Fesco is reporting on it.
That was awesome. They can't negotiate also with the Cavs middle of the game.
Oh, come on. You don't think Dan Gilbert, the owner of the Cavs, has whoever the hell the owner is of the Indians phone number?
Now this poor PR guy is supposed to give up his boss a call. He's supposed to dial up Sherman. Hey, Sherman.
Hey.
Yes. Look, man. Can you call your friend Clark?
It can happen. It's not
a big deal. Find out if we can get... That's a lot of phone calls
for an
in-game conversation over a home run ball.
They're going to let some assistant take care of this. They're not the actual owners.
I think we should go rob this guy.
If this gets to ownership, then that's bad on the PR team.
That worked out well for OJ. Go rob. Get your memorabilia back. That works out real well.
I think we should rob this guy.
Hell, Gold?
Why did they have to get that?
I'm not saying he has to go gunpoint and like kick a door down with his guys.
Cody said, let's go rob the guy for memorabilia. What's the difference?
I was saying like cat burglar, like gunpoint. Sneak in and steal
I didn't say gunpoint
it.
Either. So,
well, I mean, you mentioned OJ's in Vegas. That was like assault with like battery.
Cody wants to just go steal people's memorabilia. That guy does own it currently, does he not?
Not for long.
Not for much longer. Not when baseball gives him the call where he's like, okay, this is really taking a change.
Actually, you know
what
I would ask for now? I think if I'm a Cleveland fan, screw the crown. Give me tickets to the Field of Dreams game next year. My team's not even in it. There's only like 7,000 tickets in Iowa. That's what I would want.
One Field of Dreams ticket?
I need Field of Dreams ticket next year.
So you're just asking for like an autographed bat from Sal. That's all you'd want?
Like
If you caught it.
If it's you, it's very difficult because you're in a very awkward position. You kind of have to give it to him.
That's the issue. Let's take the fact that we work in media out of it because right.
It's fine if we take the media part into it. Because
that's what I was saying.
Because then what do you ask for? You ask to break some big news? Hey, look, Tate, what I want is the next big news to break in Kansas City. I'd like that scoop.
I think I'd be like
Bobby Wood Jr.
There you go. That's big, man.
Like we have Wit. Wit comes on the show weekly. I might if it was like Salvi, I'd be like, well, let's get Salvi on the show, or let's do something like that that would benefit
the show.
We can get
Salvi on the show now.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's not a good example.
Gold. I don't know if I want you negotiating.
On a weekly basis.
Oh, on a weekly basis.
Yeah,
once. We'd like a weekly Salvador. We'd like him to just do bits for us.
Honestly, an autograph. Like, autograph Salvi bat and go ahead and get me an autograph Bobby Wood Jr. bat. Let's make that happen early. Let's just get ahead of that.
He's sending people down to the minors for calls.
Yeah, let's go ahead and just get the Bobby Wood.
Clearly a big autograph guy.
Yeah, I'm a big memorabilia
guy. I'm going opening day Crown Club seats. That's where I go.
Opening day Crown Club next year.
That's
to watch
all
Bobby
I need.
Jr.
It's pretty dope.
When Bobby Wood Jr. and Nick Prado are in that lineup, and you're sitting literally, and I mean, when I say Crown Club seats, Jack, I want the one directly behind home plate, front
Bobby
row.
Bobby Wood Jr. shirt on.
With whatever you want, man. You advertise, and I want when they name him.
Cody and Gold T-shirt, probably.
And you better believe I'm not representing the media that day because the hand would be on the netting. Hey, man.
It's a completely different negotiating point for us.
I'll be curious to find out what, because they're going to get the ball from the guy. Okay, they're going to get this ball.
You sure? Sometimes this doesn't work out.
Yeah, because it isn't the McGuire ball, right? I mean, like this guy, it can't. What's he going to get for it on eBay? You know what I mean? So there is some. He's got leverage, but he's going to have to, hold out a little bit, make sure he gets whatever. I don't know what the guy wants. He wants a signed bat or whatever.
If he wanted that, he'd already have that. That's the thing. I think the price tag must be higher than that. If he just wanted to sign Salvador Perez or whoever your favorite Cleveland Indians player is.
Yeah, I don't know.
He'd already have that. That deal done be struck. Like, they wouldn't have had any problem being like, yeah, sure, man. We need to negotiate.
Let's negotiate this thing live on the air. Let's get this guy's contact info. Let's get him on the line. Let's get a representative from the Royals on the line. Let's just negotiate this thing out on the
air.
Let's figure out a price. We're going to have an arbiter in between. Let's work this out.
Fly him into
Someone
Kansas
says
City,
you would ask Salvi to appear in your next song is what you would do.
Sure. That would be awesome. Clearly. I'm already working on a Bobby Wood Jr. one, so there might as well be, you know.
Text line says, I'm a Royals fan, but if I had the ball, I'd want an autographed bat, tickets to a future game, and want to hand it to Salvi personally.
See, that's always the one that, like, players make a big deal about that I do not think is that big of a deal. He just wants to meet Salvador Perez once. That's fine. It's fine. Salvi's a really incredibly nice person. I imagine he would not even fight that. If that was what the guy was asking, I think that would have already been sold.
All right, so each week on a Tuesday, we find out who got chopped, from our Guillotine League. It was a sweat last night. You and I were also in the basement. Now, Aaron Jones got you out of that quickly with a nice night. I had nobody left. Safe. I was up by, what, 10 and a half or something like that?
Yep.
And this gentleman that unfortunately for him got chopped needed Jamal Williams to have a big night. Jamal Williams did not. I ended up holding on barely by three. So it was a sweat. I'm sorry to welcome in David, owner of the team that got chopped in our Guillotine League. Ad Trend Outdoor Advertising is team name. David, I'm sorry, man. You had me nervous last night.
I was on the edge of my seat, man. I was just cheering, you know, hard as I can. But yeah, Jamal, he came up short.
You went out and bid a lot of money, didn't you, last week for Devin Singletary, like $200+ and he hadn't he wasn't the reason you lost. I mean, he had a nice game.
I needed a run back. My draft didn't work out too well as far as running backs falling to me. So, yeah, I definitely overbid for Singletary, but I needed someone in the backfield, but it just didn't work out.
What do you think? Was it just, where did you pick in the draft? Was that the problem with the running backs? Because I had plenty of good running backs. My wide receivers were suspect, I thought, going into the year, but I felt like the entire league ignored running back for the first, like, 30 picks.
Yeah, so I saw, tied in for the 49ers, sitting
Kittle.
There on the, Kittle, sitting there for me, and I was like, you know, tight ends are going to be, very, very important, as these drafts play out. There's only a few of them that are worth a darn. So I picked him up, and by the time the draft came back around to me, I wasn't a running back on the board that was, that was any good. With 18 players drafted, you end up, having to pick between the second and third string running backs. And so that's kind of where the draft fell apart for me. And then after that, downhill from there.
Let it be a lesson, I guess, David, for everybody. Last week, you in week one had the fifth highest points, and then you had the lowest this week. That's what's crazy and also kind of fun. Unfortunately, it cost you this week, but about Guillotine, because last week you were probably feeling pretty good.
I was, but Dak Prescott comes out with 9 points in week two, and he played great, but didn't score a touchdown through the air. So if Dak has a decent game, if stopped handing the ball off, then I'd have a decent score. I'd probably still be there, and you'd be interviewing some other goofball.
Well, David, thanks for calling in, man. Sorry you're out in week two. And again, David is the gentleman. His entry in the league at providing a billboard for the winner at the end of the season, which is really, really cool. I'm sorry to say, David, you've been chopped.
You've been chopped.
We bombed that so bad again.
That's David.
Oh, God, we are just the worst at that.
I kind of like it.
Yeah. There it is. He's done.
What was that noise?
That's the guillotine. That's the guillotine, man. You've been chopped.
I don't like that.
You don't like that sound?
That sounds like the breath text of God line, scene text from Indiana line Jones.
Text line's knocking David. They said that dude picked a tight end before running backs.
Should have listened to my fantasy show.
Oh, are you saying that this wouldn't have happened for David?
Your boy, this is Sunday mornings, 9 a.m.
There it is.
610 Sports Radio.
Week 3 of Guillotine. You want advice? That's who you need to be listening to.
Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Twin Peaks, each drink, scenic views.
Get it all in. Get it all in.
That's what I do. And drafted receivers, first three picks, 2-0. I'll see myself out.
I mean, this is a PPR league, so you'd think that wide receivers would hold value, and they absolutely do. That's why running backs got ignored.
He could have gotten Gronk in the 12th. Look what he's doing.
He's having a great start of season. There was there's a big-time trade in our Guillotine League for the listeners that are in our league that are listening. Cody just made a trade with listener Matt in our Guillotine League. Same one that did the wrap. Cody has traded $300.
Nice.
For Aaron Rodgers.
We only get $1,000 total, so that might seem steep, Dusty, but you have to remember, I survived week one getting a half a point from Ryan Fitzpatrick, who was my starter.
I then
picked up Tua because no one was available, and then he got hurt immediately. I got 3 points out of him.
Well, you want me to give you a little bit of advice? Go try to get Justin Fields, man.
He is not available.
Yeah, but he's on my bench, I think.
Somebody's bench. The only two starters I would have been able to get were the two on this gentleman's roster.
You couldn't
the two available guys.
He's on my bench.
He's on his bench.
Not Justin Fields.
Yeah.
Jared Goff's
on my bench. Justin Fields on somebody else's bench.
Okay.
I swear to God, because it starts with 18 teams, there were no quarterbacks available. So when I picked up
Tua, it's a different format.
The options were Tua or Taylor Heineke. This week, the options were going to be Dak Prescott until more teams get knocked out. The options were going to be Dak Prescott or Mac Jones. So I just decided, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to bid $250 on Dak Prescott. I'm just going to cancel that, offer $300 flat for Aaron Rodgers, and live my life.
So we'll see. Everybody will be putting in their bids. We'll find out. Matt was able to spend $500 on Mahomes last week, so that's why he's able to trade you Aaron Rodgers. Not a bad trade
for him.
It's
like he got Mahomes for $200. Yeah, it's not a bad little day.
That's actually a good trade for him. Coming up next, he left us with a tease last week and said not to ask him about it, but you know we're going to. It's the Whit Merrifield Show next.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio. Derek Johnson joins Fesco in the morning, Mondays at 7.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.